church. If you want to know what's going on, we're transparent. We let you know anyway as we move along. But we have our business meeting after church. We have our disciples training after church. So I'm going to give you this introduction. I'm telling you, it's the piece of an introduction. Our focus for this year is fruit-filled to be fruitful. It's fruit-filled to be fruitful. And so we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit for the next couple of weeks. And like I said, this is going to be just the intro, just to get your palate wet, because I got more word than I got time here, and I don't want to rush through this. I'm a firm believer that God always exceeds himself and makes sure that the next thing that he does surpasses the last thing that he did. Scripture says he takes us from faith to faith, glory to glory. That's why it's not wise, and you sell yourself short, to look for God to do the same thing. He will exceed himself. The Bible says the exceeding greatness of his power. Several scriptures bear and support the weight of this statement, but with any type of kingdom progress, you got to know that there'll be some kind of carnal problem illustrated and orchestrated by carnal people. Carnal people are just going to be carnal people. In Galatians, Paul asks, who bewitched you? In Romans, it's noted that Paul says, who can stand against us? More often than not, it's a who and not a what that typically tries to trip us up. It's not stuff, it's people. Amen. You may not be able to say amen right now. Just keep looking forward. He says, who has bewitched you? Who can stand against you? It's not always things. It's quite often people that the enemy uses to disrupt kingdom progress. The truth is, we can't control what people do and say, but the only thing that we can control is ourselves and how we respond. Y'all ready to get this? All right. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Thank you, God. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. For the sake of time, I want to just read this for you. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Jesus is talking. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. How will I know if they're best friend material? How will I know if I should enter into relationship with them? How will I know if I should take the relationship to the next level? How will I know if I should marry this person? How will I know if I should enter into business with this person? Scripture says that we will know by their fruit. You may fool me once, but you can't fool me forever. The fruit will eventually confess the tree's true identity. My grandma say, let them talk long enough and they'll tell you exactly where they live. The fruit, you might fool us for a season, but eventually the fruit will tell on the tree. The fruit will always reveal who the tree really is. Look at your neighbor and say, you will know them by their fruit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What fruit? What fruit? I'm glad you asked me that, Auntie. The fruit, Galatians 5:22. What fruit? What kind of fruit are we talking about? Galatians 5. I want to take my time. Is it all right if I just take my time? I'm not going to be long. I promise you I'm not going to be long. Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit we're talking about. This is the fruit. Ah. Let's jump in. Disappointment is the offspring of false expectations. I'm going somewhere. Disappointment is the child of false expectations. The easiest path to disappointment is to place upon something or someone an expectation and they fail to meet it. All too often, we rely on personality traits instead of character traits as qualifiers for those we get into relationship with or give our trust to. We look at their personality, and if they smile nice or if they talk pleasant, they must be trustworthy. No. I might as well hit you with this bag of nickels right up front. To my guests, I'm going to hit you with truth you can't dodge. I'm going to hit you up front, and I'm going to tell you about it later. I'm going to hit you with this question. Of all the relationships that left you hurt, disappointed, broken, and bitter, did you ask of that relationship something it was not built, equipped, or designed to give? Let it marinate for a minute. Because anything that exceeds its capacity becomes unmanageable, unstable, unpredictable, and dangerous. So did you, in the course of your infatuation with that person, your course of being impressed by their knowledge and their acumen, did you put too much weight on the relationship? And the relationship was never designed to hold that kind of pressure. Because anything that exceeds its capacity, you can't trust. That's how we typically get hurt in relationships and in situations where we give our trust to people. Then we want to blame them for hurting us, as if they were terrible individuals, when the truth of the matter is many of us place unrealistic expectations on them that God never intended them to be under in the first place. You ask them something they could not deliver. And so we get hurt the most by the misplaced expectation, not necessarily the person. So the disappointment comes from the misplaced expectation, not them. But because our hearts are in it, all we see is them. I'm still in my introduction, by the way. But I want to pivot just a little bit in that introduction. When we receive Christ Jesus into our hearts, the Bible says that Holy Spirit, he dwells or lives on the inside of us. When you get saved, you get a roommate. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings two distinct gifts, two distinct things. He brings gifts and fruit. Say gifts. Say fruit. When your spiritual roommate comes in and lives with you, once you've accepted Christ, his furniture is, it consists of gifts and fruit. gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10, Holy Spirit brings gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of discernment, gifts of faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, workings of miracles, tongues, gifts of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these gifts come from Holy Spirit. But here's the rub. The nature, you need to listen, please listen to this. The nature of a gift doesn't show us how much you love God. It shows us how much God loves you. Let it marinate for a minute. Just because you have a gift, and I'm getting ahead of myself, does not tell us your degree and your depth of love for God. It simply tells us God loves you. God loves you enough to give you a gift. Oftentimes, a gift that you were not worthy to receive. Come on in here. It says nothing about how much you love God. It says everything about how much God loves you. Look at somebody say, God loves me. He absolutely loves you. Hallelujah. The gift on my life is not just for me, it's for you. We're going to dig deeper. We're going to dig deeper in this on Wednesday, because 1 Corinthians, that scripture that I read, when it talks about the gifts, verse 7, it says that it is for every man. You. It's for you. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is one. So the gift that God gives to me, the gift that God gives to you, is not for you. It's for everybody. Everybody received and partook of Jesus' gift. Because it was for everybody. Your gift is not just for you. It's for everybody. My gift, my personal gift, as a pastor, as a man of God, my gift is to strengthen you, encourage you, grow you, mature you in the faith, and help you reach your God-given purpose and potential. That's my gift. God gave me this gift, not for me, but for you. And if I ever start using it on myself and for my own benefit, I have subjected my gift to abnormal use. You know what abnormal use is? It's abuse. And we got people in places of power who've been gifted with tremendous gifts. They're turning the gift on themselves, and they are now abusing the gift. But the gift was never meant to be for you. It was meant to be for those he designed it for. If I abuse this gift, I've got to answer to God. The same way with you and your gift. If you abuse your gift, and the Bible says and we're going to dig into that Wednesday, the Holy Spirit gives to each man, the King James says, several gifts. It means individual gifts. All of us in this room have a spiritual gift. We tend to think that the big three, prophecy and healing and those other, but every one of us has a gift. So if I'm going to be held accountable, if I abuse my gift, guess what? You're going to be held accountable if you misuse your gift. If you abuse your gift, if you have a word of wisdom, but you turn it on yourself and you use it for your good and not the good of the body, you got to answer to God. Look at your name and say, please don't abuse your gift. Please don't abuse. See, the error is in gifting, and I'm almost there. The error in gifting is that often when we see someone operating in their gift, we foolishly assume that they love God. Oh, he just laid hands on somebody and he must love God. They sang and the whole church went up and prayed. He must love God. Oh, when he plays, he just takes me into the presence. He must love God. Some of y'all know some folk highly gifted, but grimy and nasty. Can I say that? Some of you know people who can flow and operate in a gift, and when they use the gift, it blesses the house. But you know when they walk out them doors. So the Bible says, thank you, Holy Ghost. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That word repentance means they cannot be revoked. Oh, God. So it's possible that somebody can be highly gifted, but nasty. Highly gifted, but deceitful. And this is where it confuses most of the body. And it's not because God messed up. It's because we messed up. Because we've now traded personality for character as the indicator or the litmus test whether or not this person is of God. Is that too heavy for y'all on a Sunday morning? Operating in your gift tells us nothing about your love for God. It tells us nothing. What it says is that God loved you enough that even when he knew how nasty you'd be, he still gave you a gift. Oh, God. See, this is where a lot of us, we get fooled and confused because a wonderful gift is coming out of a flawed vessel. But God never designed someone's spiritual gift to be the indicator of their connection with him. He designed fruit to reveal that. I told you, your roommate brought two things. He brought gifts and fruit. Fruit is intended to reveal the true character and nature of a person, not their gift. Hallelujah. Listen, they can talk as slick as goose poop, but if their heart is nasty, and you got something to do, they can sell you, they can convince you that ice is colder than anybody else's ice in town. But if their character, if the fruit, I told you the fruit will tell on the tree every time. Somebody shout fruit. Fruit is the result of intimacy. It's the result of, it is the byproduct of a connection. That's why we say that our children are the fruit of our loins. It's the result of intimacy. And where there is no intimacy, there can be no fruit. You can't fake fruit. You can't fake fruit. Either you've been connected or you're not. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 are the character traits that an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit develops. And you can't develop them without intimacy. So my gift says nothing of my love for God. But if you see me loving, forgiving, faithful, if you see me expressing kindness and gentleness, if you see me long-suffering, if you see me being temperate, then you know he's got a connection. If you see me after I've been wrong and I don't go back and do wrong to them, you can say he's got a connection. If I'm not trying to do tit for tat, if I don't get in my feelings and stay in my feelings and hate you for 3 years, but when I know you wronged me and you meant to harm me, I'm still able to forgive you. He got a connection. No matter how well I sing or how wonderful I preach or how great I do my gift, if I'm not flowing in my fruit, if the fruit isn't showing, personality traits can only show us so much. But character traits tell the whole story. character traits tell the whole story. And I don't want to raise a church that just sounds good and just looks good. I want God to raise a people that are good, that walk in love, that walk in forgiveness, that can lay down and not take up offense. That's what God wants. That's what God needs. That's what the kingdom of heaven demands. And you can't look at my gift to see if I got it. You got to look at my fruit. And I'm still in my introduction. God wants us fruit-filled. If we ever have any hope of being fruitful. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Auntie, I'm done. You can give me some music. But I thought about this when I was growing up, and I'm not that old, I promise. But my grandmother and them, for Christmas, you got two things. You got drawers. For those who don't know who drawers are, they're underwear. You got a pack of drawers, some socks, and then you got a bag of fruit. Walnuts, Brazil nuts, peppermint, you know, orange, apple, banana. And if you really got lucky, you got a fruit log. It was nasty. So I began to, Holy Spirit brought that back to my spirit. Where we mess up as believers. We're going to go deeper into this. I promise we're going to go deeper into this. I couldn't give you all of this. Where we error, we think that the gift is, that we think that the fruit, no, we think that the gift is the fruit. We think that, okay, because they can preach the house down, because they can sing, because they have the gift of prophecy, because they can lay hands on the sick and they recover. We think that that is the fruit. It's not the fruit. The fruit is the gift. That bag that grandma and them would give you, that was our gift. I'm telling you, as believers, the gift does not indicate your connection with God. Your fruit indicates your connection with God. And that is the gift. That's the gift we're supposed to give to this world. To love people in spite of. To forgive. When they've wronged you, to understand that that's what sinners do. When you understand that sinners sin, that hurt people, you know, you may still feel it, but it shouldn't linger as long, because your gift to them is the fruit. That in spite of what you've done, I still love you. Let me tell you this. We're going to get into this later. You act like you heard it for the first time. We're commanded to love. I need everybody standing. We're commanded to love. No doubt, no question. 1 John 4:7-8 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. See, you don't love, you, if you don't love, it goes on, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God. Don't tell me you love God and you got hate in your heart. Don't tell me you love God and got hate in your heart, even for 45. I'm going to give you a second. Let it sink in. Don't tell me you love God and you hate somebody. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Now, let me tell you this, because I lost about 20 of y'all right now. We're commanded to love. He didn't say nothing about trusting you, though. Trust is earned. Trust is qualified. I gotta love you. I don't gotta trust you. That's the error that most believers fall into. Since I gotta love you, then I just gotta ignore what I see. I'm seeing apples on your tree, and you're telling me you're a peach tree? Better go on somewhere. I gotta love you, but trust is earned. Trust is qualified. Trust comes when I see a consistency with your tree and your fruit. Oh, this is good. So keep loving. You gotta love. You gotta love. Just become that fruit inspector. You want me to trust you? Let me observe you. Let me observe you. That folk I love with the love of God. But you stole my stuff. I'm going to keep my eye on you when you come to my house. And that don't mean that. I thought you pulled, and see, oh, I can't get, okay, that's, I'm going to stop right here. God loves, he commands us to love. But our ability to trust, it's got to be earned. Don't ignore fruit. Don't ignore fruit. Maya Angelou said, when people tell you who they are, leave them. Yes, people can change. I'm still looking at fruit. I gotta look at fruit. God wants us fruit-filled so we can be fruitful. Father, seal this word in our heart. We pray right now for fruit-bearing trees. Good fruit-bearing trees. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us as we confessed saving hope, received you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for what Holy Spirit brings. For those of us who don't know what our gift is, Father, begin to reveal that gift. Begin to show them what it is that you have graced them with. I pray, Lord God, for the cultivation and the maturing of fruit in their life as well. For the tree is known by the fruit it bears. Make us fruit-bearing trees. Fruit-bearing trees that advance the kingdom of heaven. Fruit-bearing trees that will bring grace and love and hope to a dark and dying world. Fruit-bearing trees that are able to reflect the image of Christ everywhere we go. Make us the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Fruitful, to be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise if you receive something.